Yaakov's dream has many dimensions. And I want to sketch the overall setting of the event and then emphasize one particular dimension which I think is of important inspiration to periods of life through which every one of us goes. He has this dream the last night that he is still in Eretz Israel. The next day he's crossing over to go to Chutz Laaretz. And really the content of the vision is addressed to that condition. He sees a sulam, mutzav arza. Mutzav means stretched out to the earth. Barosha magiha shamayma, and it reaches all the way to the shamayim. The first explains this demonstrates that connection between Shemayim and Ba'aretz is made by Shemayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu reaches out to us. We are not responsible to create a connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We respond. As everyone knows, Malachei Elohim Olim V'Yorodim Bo, the Malachim are going up before they're coming down, the Malachim of Eretz Israel are leading him, and the Malachim of Chutz La'aretz are coming to join him. It's a double message. Stepping over the border makes a difference. Things will not be the same anymore. The connection that you have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Israel is going to be lost. But it will be replaced by a different connection. A special connection of the type that belongs to Chutz La'aretz. Now, we know he slept there, Kivo HaShemesh. The sun set suddenly and unexpectedly. So Chazal say he was trapped there to daven, and he's davening at night. One message is, you can daven at night. Nighttime is not just a lack of sun. Nighttime is a symbol throughout our literature for Golus. Golus is a time where a person feels abandoned. The message is here also, you're not abandoned. You can daven. It's a nighttime davening. It won't be the same davening. Rishus, which in our case means the lowest level of chiyuv, because as Tosfos points out, if you take off your belt, you don't have to daven Maariv, but if you have your belt on, you do have to daven Maariv. But it's a different level of tefillah. The Rambam says that of all the nevuahs, there are the ranking of the significance or greatness of the nevuah. If you have it at night and you see a vision of pictures, that's a very low form of nevuah. So Yaakov Avinu is being told that even when you make transition to Chutz La'aretz, and you're going into night, Nebuah will be available. But, of course, it won't be the same level of Nebuah that you're used to. It's a different level. It's a lower level. The message is that even in times that are not ideal, times that feel abandoned or feel fractured, Kodesh Baruch Hu is still available, but in a different way. Now, in the passage, it says Vihine four times. If Vihine is a call to attention, you don't need it four times in four psukim. It breaks up the text into four sections. Each section has its own message. The first is the Sulam, Musav Arza, Kodesh Baruch Hu makes connections. The second is, as we said, Malachim going up and down, which means that the connection is available but different. The next is that Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm protecting your national future. You will inherit the land of Israel. Your children will become a great nation. You may feel that you're leaving Eretz Israel, and therefore you're cut off from that future of what you're promised. What was Avraham Avinu told? You're going to become a great nation? Not in Ur Kasdim, and not in Haran. Can't happen there. I'll make you into a great nation there, not here. And you're now leaving. Don't worry. Your national future is assured. The last Behina is, I'm with you personally. You'll come back to your land, to your father's house. I'm with you to guard you. That's all a message of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect you and preserve your future in a national sense, in a personal sense. But the underlying subtext is that how it is for you will depend upon the circumstances, and it will be different. he sees the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael leaving him first, and the Malachim of Chutz La'aretz coming to replace them. Sacher Shabbat Rebbe said that the higher angels always move first, and the lower angels move second. What happens when he's coming back? Yaakov Avinu identifies it as a machane of Malachim. He calls the name of the place Machanoim, twin camps. And if you think about it, in a very simple, direct way, he met a camp of angels and he called the place twin camps. Why did he do that? The answer is, because Rashi explains, because he has the external Malachim from Chutz La'aretz still with him, and now the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael are coming to join him. So temporarily, there's an overlap between the two of them, because the higher Malachim always move first. So, if that's the case, on the other end, when he's leaving, if the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael leave him first, and only afterwards the Malachim of Chutz La'aretz are coming to join him, if when he's coming back there's an overlap, when he leaves there's a gap. And that's why it says, "V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav." When there's the gap, no Malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to be shomer him, because he's never left alone. He's never abandoned. This idea of being connected through times which seem to be difficult is also brought out in a very interesting, intricate way. If you count letters and words, which is a good thing to do anyway, count the words and the letters of Birkas Kohanim. The words are 3, 5, and 7, the progression. The letters are, in terms of the each of the psukim, the letters are 15, 20, and 25. Also a progression. Not likely that should be by accident. Now, 15, which is the sum total of the words, 15 in our literature is the gematria of the name Yud-K, a Yud and a He, which is the incomplete name. Kiyadu Kesko, Melchama Bamolek, until it becomes fulfilled with the last two letters of Vav and He. That means that the Birkas Kohanim is available even when we're in a situation of the incomplete chain. Birkas Kohanim is available in Chutz La'aretz. It's quite a mystery why, unlike some Sfardi shul where they do Birkas Kohanim in New York every day. I know that Rav Scheinberg used to go to a Syrian shul in New York because they did Birkas Kohanim with a bracha. There's no suffix that what they're doing is fine. Why other places in Chutz La'aretz don't have Birkas Kohanim every day, it's not easy to explain. But the idea is that Birkas Kohanim is available even in Chutz La'aretz. Well, that's the number of words, 15. What about the letters? 15, 20, and 25 is 60. Hine mitaso shel Shlomo, shishim giborim savivla. Solomon's bed has around it 60 warriors, mipachat balelos, from the fear at night. Says Tosfos, the fear at night is golos. And the 60 are a way of dealing with the fear of being in golos. So the number of letters also indicates that in these circumstances, the Birkas Kohanim is still available, even though you're in a situation which is fractured, which is difficult, needs to be repaired, misfal for the gula every day, 3 times a day. Even so, the Birkas Kohanim is available. Where do you find HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In what do you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu when the situation is a situation that's fractured? Rashi says, "Vayetz Yaakov Be'er Sheva Ve'el Acharona Yitzias Tzadik Ben Amokim Oseh Roshem." When a tzadik leaves a place, it makes a mark in the place. The place is not the same place. We think of a city, and we think of the buildings. We think of the rivers or the mountains that go through it. Montreal, Montreal, you know, you have a mountain. The Jew doesn't think that way. The topography doesn't matter, and the buildings don't matter, and the museums. What matters is the people. When a tzaddik leaves, they're not the same place. And then Rashi says, The same was true for Naomi and Ruth when they came back from Moab. It says there also. They left Moab and came to Eretz Israel. Why does Rashi have to bring an extra example? What does that add to the pshat that he's saying here? The answer is very interesting. You know that from Yaakov, Yitzias Tzadik Ben Amokom Osaroshim. Maybe that's just Yaakov. The Bechir Sheva Avos, the greatest of the patriarchs. Maybe only someone like him would make a difference. No. Other tzaddikim also make a difference. Naomi was a tzaddikus. Ruth was a tzaddikus. Their leaving Moab also made a rosh. Okay, if that's true, tell me about Ruth and Naomi. Let the pasuk say it over there, and I say it over here. We'll say it. If Naomi and Ruth leaving the place makes a rosh, alachas kama v'kama, Yaakov Avinu, b'chishu v'avos. But the answer is that when Yaakov left Be'er Sheva, he left behind Yitzchak and Rivka. He didn't leave it empty. If you have a room, a sealed room, and the room has in it three candles burning, and you extinguish one candle, there's less light. If the room has in it one candle, and you extinguish it, there's no light. Which is a bigger difference, going from 3 to 2 or going from 1 to 0? Obviously going from 1 to 0. So maybe when Yaakov leaves, since he's leaving behind his parents, it won't make such a difference. Because it's only going from 3 to 2. No. Even when there are other tzaddikim, when one tzaddik leaves, it makes a difference. So, he leaves, in the case of Yaakov, he leaves behind his parents. For him, it's going from 3 to 1. So he's definitely in a place with less light. When that happens, you have to become more aware, more sensitive, more searching in your gaze to find ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with you. The large context of life is not the same. The inspiration is not the same. But to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not abandoned you, you have to be able to know, to look and find the ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still communicating. People ask, why is it that we don't see Nisim the way we saw Nisim thousands of years ago? The answer is that you're sitting here and experiencing a direct nes every moment, because there is no reason in Teva whatsoever that Klal Yisrael should have survived 2,000 years ago and goes. No reason whatsoever. Nothing in the history of all mankind remotely resembles the survival of Klal Yisrael. And it's promised to us that when Am Segula, that we'll come back, that we'll be a Mashiach. You look through that period of history and compare it with the 5 continents and cultures all over the world, there's absolutely no reason in Teva that this should have happened. So the very fact that you exist is itself an open nes. It's an open nes. It's something we take for granted because it's continuously with us, but we shouldn't. You think of people who went through the Holocaust. Could any of them, I would say even the biggest tzaddik, could any of them imagine that 70 years later there would be thousands and thousands of Talmidei Chachamim? The mere yeshiva in Yerushalayim has 10,000 Talmidim. Lakewood has 10,000 Talmidim. And the explosion of Bate Knesset, the explosion of Hasidus. Could anyone have dreamt in 1945 that in 70 years, 80 years, there would be such an explosion of Torah? Okay, you read the Sadoros, and we wouldn't talk about the pneumius and the quality of the devotion of Mesiras Nefesh, but look at the extent of it. I don't think anyone dreamt of it. I tell my Talmidim in Rosh Hashanah, you want to have a smach with Tchias Amesin? Look in front of you. Look in front of you. Who dreamt of this? There's a very bitter story that when the head of the Jewish renewal in Israel made a deal that Yeshiva Bachram wouldn't have to go to the army, and they said to him, look, you're giving up on a whole population. He said, in 20 years there won't be any yeshivas. I'm not giving up on anything. It's disappearing. Socialism is conquering the world. Didn't work out that way. Not at all. Not at all. Their vision of history is so distorted, and it's ignorant, because we've been through this so many times, so many centuries. So when you look at that, you think, well, here's something that can't be denied. This is a nesa no one can explain. One of your historians, Arnold Toynbee, called us the fossils of history. What a joke. Fossils don't come back from Galus for 1900 years. They don't rebuild a community and rebuild a reality in their original homeland. Nothing like that has happened in the history of the world. Fossils are dead. We are certainly not dead. The explosion of Torah. I remember Rav Sternbuch in Wan Rizmanim says there was a time when Gadol Yisrael would not publish their Sforim until after they left the manuscripts. And after they were gone, they didn't want to take any credit for it. They didn't want to get any praise or kavod for it. Rav Sternbuch writes, not now. Every Sefer that's published is a testimony that there are people who are learning it. There are people who want to understand. They're buying the Sefer. They're reading it. They're using it for Talmud Torah. That means we're alive. We still exist. That he wrote maybe 40 years ago. Today, I think, every time you go into the bookstore, there are new Sifrei Kodesh. People learning, people buying this for him in order to learn, is something which is it's a gigantic nace, and we have to be aware of it. But it also happens in everyday life. This is an experience that everyone has had multiple times. You're facing a problem. It could be a personal problem, a social problem, an intellectual problem, a business problem, and you go through in your mind all your strategies to solve the problem, and nothing works. If you're a certain kind of person, what you do then is you go through all the strategies again. Or a third time. And you know from experience that sometimes, the fourth time, going through the same strategies that failed three times, the fourth time, as we say, the answer comes to you. It hits you. The light bulb goes on. That's all very deep. Because what it says is, I didn't make it. I didn't construct it. I went through the strategies. It's the same strategies the fourth time as it was the first three times. If it failed three times, that's a chasaka already. For sure it should fail the fourth time. If the success comes, it came from somewhere else. It came from somewhere else. The Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying, I want you to see that it's coming from me. If you have a strategy for solving a problem and you employ the strategy and the solution comes out, it's easy for you to think that you solved it. But if you try three times and failed, and then and the fourth time it comes, at least if you are spiritually alive, you say, I didn't do it. Because if I had done it, it would have worked the first time. So it must be a gift. How many times does that happen? You stop and think, wow, Kodesh Baruch Hu is kibiyachol, tapping me on the shoulder and saying, look, I'm with you. I'm with you to help you. When things work out, as we say, in an unexpected way, there we're more alive. But a little thing, you're late for an appointment and you're looking for a parking place, no parking place. And just as you come up to the building, someone pulls out and you have a parking place. That didn't have to happen. He could have been delayed by 5 minutes and you'd have to pass him by. No, it wasn't an accident. Hashgacha Prati applies to every person in his life. The question is, are you alive enough to appreciate it? And even when you can't find your keys, there's a reason for that. Now, we have to be very careful. There are reasons. That doesn't mean we can read the reasons. It doesn't mean we can interpret the reasons. But the first thing to say is, this isn't an accident. The second thing is to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, either please or thank you. And you can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to enlighten you. Not, I would say, why he did it. He doesn't have to share his infinite mind with us. But what should I do about it? Please give me a feeling or an inspiration or someone who will give me an etzah, how I should deal with this, what you want from me in this circumstance. Always there's something that the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from us. And if that comes to you in tefillah, or you talk to someone about it, the person gives you an etzah, then you think, well, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is guiding me, even in this situation, even in this dark and difficult situation. Now, we all go through such situations. One of the reasons that the Akedah is printed in the Siddur, there are many people who have the minhag of saying the Akedah every day. The Akedah, Avraham Avinu, as Rashi brings, is faced with a contradiction which for him is very difficult to understand. There are really two contradictions. One is, you told me that Yitzchak would be my continuation. Then you told me to be makriv him as a korban. Then you told me not to makriv him as a korban. How do I deal with that? Is it yes or is it no? It's one Rashi. The other one is a Medrash, where at the end of the Akedah, Avraham Avinu says to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know you told me, keep Yitzchak before you have Zara. And now you tell me, Halela Ola. I had a good kasha on you. I had a good kasha on you. You told me a contradiction. What am I supposed to do? I didn't ask my kasha, did I? I didn't protest. I went in to do the Akedah without any questions. So you too, Ribbono Shel Olam, when you have a good kasha on my children, don't you ask that kasha either. In my schus, don't you ask that kasha against my children. Because I didn't ask the kasha against you. But it's a kasha. It's a kasha to such an extent that the Drash Saran says, that's why it says, Kach Noas Bincha. Listen to the logic. Because Baruch Hu says, I can't command you. Because even if I tell you to do it, I also told you that he'll be your continuation, and you'll be faced with a stira. For you, it won't be a command because you have a stira. Shlach says the same thing. That's why I'm asking you, please, to do it. The bottom line is, Avraham Avinu could not understand this. He could not understand this. The Tam was completely hidden from him. And yet he went through it. I think the message, the message for all of us, is that we all go through times in life where the Tam is hidden. And we don't know what it means. You read the Akedah and you say, look, Avraham Avinu stood at the Rosh Ha'am, and you put him through exactly that test. That's our template. That's our aftipus, as we say in Hebrew, our model. And I too am willing to be mekabel that there is in it a tam, and that eventually, in this world or the next world, I'll be able to understand the tam. So how did the Kodesh Baruch Hu reach me? By giving me Avraham Avinu as an example. Remember, what Avraham Avinu did was in private. No one would have known about it unless the Kodesh Baruch Hu wrote it in the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu put Avraham Avinu through it so as to write it in the Torah, so that it should be available, so that every generation should be able to later say, I know what's happening to me because it happened to Avraham Avinu. This, by the way, some people misunderstand this. Miriam and her seven sons, the king says to bow down, throws the money on the floor, says no. Each one of the sons is Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Before she, in despair, throws herself off the roof, she says, tell Avraham Avinu, he was commanded to be to do an Akedah on one son, and I did on seven sons. So people think of that as a kind of chutzpah, you know, where you think you're... No, she's not saying I did better than he. She's saying I did what he did because he did it. He brought it into the world. He made it possible. Tell him that someone's here who's living what he brought into the world. He did it and I did it through him and because of him. So she understood that what happened to Avraham Avinu is the way of reaching her thousands of years later in her circumstance so that she should be able to withstand her test. The model for many of these is the great people who went through the Holocaust. We can't even imagine them, like the Klosenberger Rebbe, Zechus Ha'ar Levracha, who was always there for people, always helped them, and he lost 11 family members and created 11 institutions of Torah to commemorate their memories. He felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence even there. You know the stories of those who baked matzahs with Mesiras Nefesh. We use that phrase in quotation marks. This was life and death. And made a seder to celebrate Zman Cheruseinu in the death camps. Where can they say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them there? The answer, I believe, is the Sfas Emes, is that, yes, they had the koach, the mishabit, the goof, but they don't have the koach b'mishabit the nefesh. In Mitzrayim, there was a golos of the nefesh. 80% didn't leave. Even after 8 plagues, they couldn't leave. They couldn't grasp it. They couldn't make the transition. Halol of the avodah zarah, halol of the avodah zarah. They're both guilty of avodah zarah. No goy has that power. From Yitzias Mitzrayim, no goy has that power. They can oppress the goof. They cannot oppress the nefesh. The very fact that they were willing, at risk of their lives, to bake matzos. That means that that's zman cheruseinu. The cherus from that hashpah. And by the way, as you very well know, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, did everything to try to dehumanize them, because even for them, killing a human being has a certain resistance. You have to overcome that resistance. If you can reduce them to animal behavior, starve them, and then throw them food, and watch them fight for the food. Those who fought, not everyone fought. One was given some water, and he was suffering from thirst, and he used it to wash his hands, like Rabbi Akiva in the jail there. Because you don't go into the day without washing your hands. You don't do that. Right? He wasn't reduced to that. So the fact that you're able to do that, the fact that you have that hasaga, is the totsoa, the examples that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us. Now, with Yaakov Avinu, he was in Golis for 20 years. Things happened. As he testifies, Laban tried to cheat him, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu saved him. Things happened he didn't understand there also. Leah? I'm marrying Rachel. I see. Yaakov Avinu was a Navi. He's already a Navi. He already had the Nevuah of the Sula. He saw the two sisters. He sees Rachel as his future. And he sees Leah as not his future. The Zohar goes so far as to say that Leah was on a higher madriga than he was, as far as he could understand. And he couldn't possibly link up with her. And then, it's Leah. How can that be? So he has his protest to Laban. It goes through another week. But why did he think? He had to think, something's going on here that I don't understand. But it's not an accident. Nothing like this happens by accident. So then, I'm in the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, even if I don't understand it. So when you feel that closeness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not always because you understand why it happens, it's just that it's clear that it's something that's under control far, far above you and beyond you. She becomes the mother of the majority of the Shvachim. So at each level, we have to know as a fact that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is with us, and also to be aware, to be sensitive, to be looking, to be expecting. That in itself, is a great mitzvah and a great midah. You know, the Yud-Gimel midas Yikore Emuna, all of them are, I believe that such and such is the case, except for Mashiach. And there, you have an attitude. You have to be expecting, hoping, longing for, and confident that it will take place. You don't have an attitude in any of the other Yud-Gimel Yikore Emuna. That confidence is itself a result of the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu made promises to us, so many promises throughout history, and kept them in visible ways. And then those promises that were kept are His way of reaching me now and showing me that He's with me now as well. And my response is to have that confidence. Kodesh Baruch Hu should give us the ability to, first of all, be aware enough and confident enough to look, not to just reconcile ourselves to being abandoned. We're never abandoned. We're never abandoned. Before Shem, Keli, Lama Zavtoni, what it means is I feel abandoned. And that's my challenge, to overcome that feeling, that fact. Well, first, it's never abandoned. Hashgacha Pratis applies to everyone, always, always. Those who have been convinced by external sources that maybe it's only for tzaddikim, I'm really working on a project now to explain. It's certainly not true. I'm just telling you the bottom line. That being the case, Kodesh Baruch Hu should give us the sensitivity to be motivated to seek Him out, and also to be able to find Him.
What's any for tzaddikim?
I'm sorry, say again?
What is it? What's any for tzaddikim?
No, it isn't only for tzaddikim. It's for Hashgacha Pratis. There are those who will say it is. It's certainly not true.
Amen. Israel, Barabonomal, Tomidemako, Tomidus, Tomidemako, Mondos, Gimorais, and Gosro Ding, Vladimir Vasar, Yelah, Rosanna Shlomo.